This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I wanted to give you helpful bracket hints to try to get you to win your pool and everything, and maybe we'll still get to that. But Wolchuk said, nope, I demand to give people bad news. Let's go to the Wolchuk news desk for bad news.
Yes, this was Pete DeBoer as he was talking during Stars practice, and the report is... Pete DeBoer saying there is a real possibility the Stars might have to play a first-round series without Miro Heiskanen. Thank you, Lucy. Miro has been working in the gym, but not back on the ice.
And when you talk about the first round, it's not a done deal just quite yet, but man, it really feels like it's coming into focus that first round is going to be the Stars against the Avalanche.
It is, and I think that you can win that series without Miro. But it's going to be very, very difficult, and you're probably going to end up going maybe to seven games again, much like what happened last year against Vegas, and it is going to be an all-out, drag-out fight to the death.
Yeah.
Where we might not all make it out. We will lose soldiers.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Golly. Okay.
Well, there's always those stragglers.
That was more intense than I thought it was going to be.
The drummer boys.
But you need to stop what you're doing right okay. now. All right. So it's not done. But potentially no Miro in the first round when you probably definitely inevitably play the Colorado Avalanche in the playoffs because we squandered our opportunity to win the division with the loss to Winnipeg last Friday.
Will you do me a favor?
Mm-hmm.
Brian will say a lot of things on our show.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, like, because I love him like an uncle,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to correct him. He thinks that they're most likely going to open up with Nashville. Nashville's nowhere near the playoffs. But I didn't have the heart to tell him this.
Okay.
So, you know, and he doesn't check the text because it'll ruin your day. And he's right about this. I love the text. So even the hate ones that come in, it's like, fuel, baby. Let's go. I need this.
I don't think Nashville's going to make the playoffs at all.
I don't think so either. But let's ask him about this during crosstalk, and let's see if he's still thinking that Nashville's the first round
matchup. I'm also a little worried. Alec, quick question. Do you think I'm being set up for something bad here?
I think you are. And... I'm here for it.
You think way too highly of me if you think I'm going to be able to set you up for anything.
Look, my wife will tell you, there is no one I've ever met in the history of life that I don't think could potentially be like a ninja spy. And I was like, yeah, unless they're doing this. And Jess goes, is that really what you think? Do you really think they might be doing that? And I'm like, can't rule it out. All right. In the meantime, give me cut number 8. Let's talk about college basketball.
Matawaj had it knocked out of his hands, but chased down by Foster. Proctor's open. He won't wait. Down it goes.
He feels it today, baby.
All right, I'm going to give you some bracket trends to remember when you are putting together your NCAA tournament bracket, because I know that you're going to want to go chalk, and that's the safe way to go.
Chalk it up.
And you can make an argument that there's a good chance that will keep you respectable in all of your brackets. So if you're like, hey, I don't need to win, I just need everyone to be like, oh yeah, it seems like you have a general idea of what's going on, then absolutely, you can go chalk. And I think you're just fine. But if you know what, if you're like, the hell with this, I want to win this damn bracket. Yeah. I want to win this bracket and all the prizes that come along with it. I've got some ideas for you. But first, did you see that North Carolina is already working at a disadvantage because they had travel issues delaying their arrival ahead of the first four game? Do you think some no good Knicks from Duke had something to do with their travel issues?
Yeah, my initial reaction was it was a Kevin Hagelin thing. I think you put in some calls. I know you're well-respected in the airline community.
I am still bitter about that Final Four game 3 years ago.
I know you are.
And Jesse Holly wouldn't stop calling me.
Didn't him just, like, giving you a concussion, was that not enough torture? He needed to keep calling you over and over and over again?
See, one of these days, I'm convinced you guys are going to be like, they never played in the Final Four. And I like, that was just a weird fever dream from when Jesse smashed me.
Yeah.
Well, that's smash her balls. That's probably.
Want to try that again, Kevin?
Not the way. I couldn't decide into the wall or the ground, and I should have just said something because the way I said it was worse.
What'd you say?
I'm not going to repeat it. But here's what is even worse. The West Virginia governor. Now, there are things in politics that I feel like we should all be able to come together on. Mm-hmm. There are also things where I'm like, you're just wasting all of our time. The governor, the elected governor, probably, of West Virginia lashed out at the men's tournament selection committee. Quote, West Virginia deserved to be in the NCAA tournament. And he got clever on you. The National Corrupt Athletic Association. Oh, sick burn. This was a miscarriage of justice and a robbery at the highest levels. He said that he was extremely disappointed and that he would launch an investigation via his attorney general to find out what happened. Get the hell out of here, man. I'm sorry. So you were team 69 instead of 68?
Nice.
Yeah, well, you know what? Maybe if that was happening, you wouldn't have time for such things as this. But this is stupid. I get it. If you're upset, like I think Louisville got drastically underseeded, and maybe West Virginia should have been in instead of North Carolina. But you and your attorney general are going to do what?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. So why don't you just shut up? All right.
Yeah, quit whining.
Exactly.
You whiners.
All right. Now, how to win your bracket. Do you know how many times all four number one seeds have made it to the Final Four?
Let's go three times.
It's happened one time ever in 2008.
Gosh.
So when my wife showed me her bracket yesterday.
Oh, is that what she showed you?
That's right. She had all four number one seeds going.
So you said, we need to redo this?
I told her, I was like, you can do this however you want, but I just want to let you know, it's only happened one time ever. So maybe don't put that together. Do not pick UConn to win the championship.
Mm.
Don't let Dan Hurley know about that because he might punch
you. Oh, he will find you.
Yes, he will.
He will go full Taken.
No team has three-peated as the NCAA men's basketball champion since UCLA. In 1967 through 1973, when they won an astonishing seven times in a row.
Jeez, seven times in a row. My goodness gracious, that's amazing.
Now, this is something that's going to be tough for people to think about. Alabama, number two seed.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you like them. Maybe you don't.
Don't.
Michigan State, number two seed.
Love them.
St. John's, number two seed.
Big fan.
Tennessee, number two seed.
Go Vols.
No number two seed has made it to the championship game since 2016.
What?
I know! That is the factoid that blew my mind from ESPN.
No two seed. So it's basically a one, a three.
Yeah, and it's not to say
or anything
that
else.
They can't make the Final Four.
They just won't advance.
They won't be in the championship game, or at least that hasn't been the case in nine years.
Okay, they did get positive news, though, Bama did, on Grant Nelson.
Oh, did they really?
Yes, they did. They got positive injury news on him. They dodged one, said Nate Oates. They believe that he will be questionable for Friday, but at minimum, he should be able to play in their second-round matchup on Sunday if he can't go in the first round.
And you're already looking at the East as the injury bracket, with him returning for Alabama, with Flag returning for Duke. So we'll definitely keep an eye out on that. Now, this might be the toughest one to abide by. Alec, are you a daredevil when you fill out your brackets? Do you have upset city happening galore, or do you like to go chalk?
I try to keep a healthy balance, but I'd say I'd lean more towards upsets.
Okay. A double-digit seed has made the final four of the last 8 years. So half the time... Ooh. So it's more likely, far more likely in the last 8 years, that a double-digit seed will make the Final Four than a number two seed will be in the championship game.
Whoa. That's incredible.
It really is.
I don't know. Who would be the double-digit team that you like this year?
I like UC San Diego.
Yeah, that seems
well.
Like a sexy, like, to beat Michigan in the first round.
But, and that's
I've
thing.
Got that upset, but to advance past
yeah,
there?
Yeah, but, like, I like them as a... Maybe a Sweet 16 sleeper. I have never been able to pull the trigger on a double-digit seed going into the Final Four. And I will tell you this. If you pick it, good for you. Part of me thinks that you got lucky every single time. I never think it's skill when somebody picks a 10 seed to make the Final Four. And that's my own fault. Because I'm like, you got lucky.
What about Drake as an 11 seed?
Love the Drake.
Drake could have a chance.
Yes.
Hey, not like us, baby.
That's right.
Say
now, that was a Seinfeld reference. I don't want Kendrick Lamar coming after me. That was a Seinfeld
okay.
reference.
Okay.
All right.
I apologize that I wasn't as versed in the Seinfeld world. I need to brush up.
The AP number one team. Do you know who is the number one team in all of the country heading into the tournament?
Is it the Auburn Tigers?
It's the Duke Blue Devils.
Ooh, that's why you're cherry picking.
However, oh no, this is a bad stat.
Oh, this is bad?
That means they're probably not going to win.
Uh-oh.
He's only three times since the year 2000 has the number one AP team won the tournament. Now, last year with Connecticut, it happened.
Okay.
But before that, you have to go back to 2012 Kentucky and 2001 Duke. So it's only happened three times in 25 years.
I was going to guess one of those Florida teams that went back-to-back with Billy Donovan.
Yes, believe it or not. They were probably the first one was lower rated, but the second one was probably pretty high, but not number one.
Wow.
Now, here is something that I want you to consider, because this happens all of the time. The first four games. Look for one of those first four teams to win another game.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Because a first four team has reached the second round of the real tournament in 12 of the last 13 years.
Okay.
So if you're looking for maybe you're thinking North Carolina, there is a history of these first four teams winning multiple games. So I would pick a first four team to advance.
I think that North Carolina is the sexy pick to do that.
Okay.
With all the drama that's gone on about them getting in,
yeah.
It would make it seem very likely that all of a sudden we're going to look up and they're in the Sweet 16.
See, it could happen. Absolutely. Now, this is an important one, so you don't have to say your brackets are busted. Secondly, if you lose one game for a team that you had losing in the second round, your bracket is not busted. And if you say that, I want you to shut up.
But my bracket's busted.
No, it's not. You're never going to have a perfect bracket. It's never going to happen. Like, no team's going to go 162-0. It's not going to happen.
He just hates perfection. This guy would never have made it on Remember the Titans.
Ever.
See, I disagree. I love perfection. You just can't get to it. But you have to keep trying.
So it's unachievable.
Unless it's not.
Well,
it's been unachievable so far.
So you're saying one team's going to do it eventually?
Yeah.
Exactly. So it's not achievable.
But that's because I'm not on that team, because I'm not athletic. All right. This is the one that I need you to remember.
Sure, flexible.
A top four seed has lost in the first round 14 of the last 15 years. So when you hear people are like, oh, 5'12", 6'11", I hear you. 14 of the last 15 years, a top four seed has lost in the first round. So take a more of a look at those 3 and 4 seeds. If you think any of them are vulnerable, that might be an upset play.
You know which one it's going to be? Yale beating Texas A&M.
I could see that. Yale, man, that game is going to be a slugfest. Both of those teams are physical as all get out. That's going to be a fun game to watch. A number 11 seed has won a game in every tournament since 2005. So we're going on 20 years now. Might want to go ahead and pick a number 11 seed. And a number 10 seed has won at least one game in each of the last 16 tournaments. So if you look at your bracket and you're going all sixes and all sevens, I would recommend, history says, you need to go and change one of those and pick a 10, pick an 11, make some different
selections.
Make
some tweaks. I need to go back and probably redo this thing.
Okay. I'm here to help. Hopefully some of these suggestions will help people out along the way.
I like this. You're right. Bless you.
I just needed to sneeze.
Yep, let it out.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll move into the expressway where we'll have AM on the FM, but also NFL overreaction or reality, including a question about Quinn Ewers, whether you like it or not. Next on The Fan.
Ewers sprinting out, squares, throws, touchdown Texas, Matthew Golden.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We've got Mr. Zach Wolchuk rocking with us for today and tomorrow. And by the way, on Thursday, one of the people that won Do the Show with KNC will be in here on Thursday. Corey, Corey will also be back on Thursday. Right now, we're going to do some overreaction or reality NFL style. And I want to head and go fire off this cut. It's cut number 12 from Ian Rappaport. He is talking about the Cowboys and how they could draft a quarterback early. And you're going to hear the name come up that's going to lead to our question.
This to me says the Cowboys are going to go quarterback in the draft. And I wonder how high are they going to go? Right? Like, I would be surprised at this point if they take a quarterback in the first round. I think everybody would. But what if it's someone like, I don't know, Quinn Ewers in the second round, right? A quarterback who's really talented, who they know well, right? Who might not have to play for a couple years, but in 3 years might end up being someone who's certainly talented enough to be the starting quarterback. How high do they go, right? Because if you're going to wait to the fifth or sixth or seventh round, you don't know what kind of backup quarterback you're getting. And honestly, by then, they may all be gone.
This is stop it right there. Because what I immediately thought is if you wait until the fifth or sixth or seventh round is when you could get Quinn Ewers. But he said, he threw out an idea. So I'm going to start with this. NFL overreaction or reality. If the Cowboys took Quinn Ewers at number 44, that would make the draft a failure no matter what else happens.
Oh my gosh. I think that would be overreaction. Is there still a possibility that like they have a first round pick I love or a third round pick? Like last year, Cooper Beebe salvaged everything for
yeah.
me. Really did. And that ended up kind of correlating to the season as well. But man, I got to say overreaction, but it would hurt to take Quinn Ewers, who I already don't think is a second round quarterback.
Oh my God, no.
To take him at 44 when this team has so many holes. And really the only ways we've talked about that they seriously address stuff is through the draft. That would be a big time letdown.
It's a reality, guys, for me. I don't care if they hit on every single pick outside of that. You passed up on probably a top 100 player at that pick to take somebody who is not a top 100 player in this class just because you're scared of what's going to happen if and when Dak Prescott goes down. And I don't think Quinn Ewers is very good at all. I don't think any level of NFL coaching is going to make him a starting caliber player. I think he'll be good for you in a pinch, which is why you take him day three. I think the value is there. If you want to take him, if he's available day three, I'm fine with that. taking him in the second round makes no sense because, depending on what you do in the first round, you could have a starting running back there just waiting for you to take at 44. You could have a starting player right here, right now, ready to go, but instead you're taking a project piece, and it makes sense because the Cowboys, Choppy said it best this morning, Cowboys love in the second round to take risks. They take the injured player. They take the guy that nobody's really heard of from a small school or what have you. They like to swing big in the second round on day two specifically. So it wouldn't shock me, and I'd say no matter what they do with the other picks, that's a failure for me.
See, and I think I'm inclined to agree with you guys. I would really hate that pick because of the value. Like when you talked about when even Rappaport was like, hey, maybe we'll get somebody in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. They could all be gone. Like if you took Quinn Ewers in the fifth round, first of all, I would be okay with that because you brought in somebody who could potentially be the backup quarterback or at least compete with Will Greer or however you want to see that out. But also to Alex's point, you're really hoping that your second rounder can start. And there's no way in hell that Quinn Ewers, barring injury, would start. And so I would hate that probably the whole draft that happened.
100%. And it's just, it to me, it's one of those where I put out on Twitter, whenever we found out that a report that Quinn Ewers was working with Mike McCarthy, I'm like, Cowboys want to draft a quarterback. They've got Quinn Ewers, local kid. They know him well from South Lake Carroll. He can be a Dallas Day visit. I was not thinking day one or two. I was thinking, to Alex's point, you had at the time 4 fifth-round picks. One of those fives makes sense to me. Like, I don't think Quinn Ewers will be taken higher than the fourth round. Could be wrong, because as we mentioned, quarterbacks are being propped up the board just for they need them. Teams need quarterbacks, supply and demand. But my gosh, to take him in the second seems really, really rich.
NFL overreaction or reality? I've got a quote to back this up. Aaron Rodgers isn't good enough to have teams wait around for him. Now, I felt strongly about this before, but then defensive end for the Steelers, Cam Hayward, jumped out and said he's tired of talking about the quarterback situation. He's ready to move on. And about Aaron Rodgers, he said, either you want to be a Steeler or you don't. Overreaction or reality? Aaron Rodgers is not good enough to have teams wait around for.
That is absolutely a reality. In fact, it's annoying. It kind of angers me that this is a
thing.
What are we doing right now? Aaron Rodgers was a shell of himself on a team that was supposed to be ready-made, win now. They've got the defense. They've got Garrett Wilson. Let's go trade for my buddy Devontae Adams to save everything midseason, which gave us the meme of all memes on the Pat McAfee show. They've got the runner in Breece Hall. They've tried with the offensive line. It didn't work. They won 5 games. So for me, it's like I don't understand. If Aaron Rodgers is not willing to sign with you right now, screw you, dude. I'm going to pivot in a different direction. I don't need the drama that comes with you because you're not even good anymore.
Alec, bonus question, overreaction or reality, but also does it make you visibly angry to even have to discuss this?
Yeah, this story should be written already. It should be done. This is a total reality. If we're talking about even just a few years ago, sure, I can understand because he was still a commodity back then. We've seen nothing that indicates any level of like hierarchy that he deserves within an NFL franchise anymore. It's, hey, if you're willing to give me a chance, I will sign with you. I will give you the best I've got, and we'll try to win some football games. At this point in his career, that's what it has to be, but it's always been about him. And unfortunately, in Green Bay, it was always about him, and he always got his way. So that sense of entitlement isn't out of nowhere. It was built over time, and he took it with him to the Jets, and the Jets abided by every command. So every team he's been with so far, which is only two to this point, he's gotten everything he's ever wanted. So he feels like he's still that Aaron Rodgers of old where he can get anything he wants whenever he wants it because he's Aaron Rodgers. No, you're washed. It's over.
Man, from the 4-3-2, the Cowboys are going to draft an offensive lineman at 12 and Ewers in the second round to really light this fan base up. Man, that would be, let's just say something. All right, NFL overreaction or reality? Once again, I'll go to the quotes. The sky is the limit for Javonte Williams and Miles Sanders in Dallas. Now, before you answer, so I have a feeling you naysay and sons of guns are going to say overreaction. I take you. I take you to Javonte Williams.
What's so funny?
I mean, it's good to have confidence in yourself. I shouldn't laugh. Quote, the sky is the limit. I've been watching Miles since he was at Penn State and then with the Eagles and a little with Carolina. I've always respected his game, and I'm ready to get in here and compete with him and grind. Overreaction to reality, the sky is the limit for these two.
Overreaction. We know what these players are. Miles Sanders is probably at the end of his career than he is in the prime of his career. Javonte Williams is maybe another year removed from that knee injury. Maybe that's what he's thinking. I'm finally going to get my juice back. I'm going to be the player that they were thinking they were getting in the second round of North Carolina. You know what these guys are, okay? I don't think that the sky is the limit. I think we know what the limit is, and that's these guys are okay, average NFL running backs.
Well, it depends what the sky is in their mind. If the sky is a backup to a first or second round draft pick, then yes, the sky is absolutely the limit. I think that's very realistic. So congratulations, guys. But no, I think the team has done a pretty poor job at not telegraphing the fact that they need help at the running back position, and they plan on addressing it in the draft. Finally, it's almost like we've been asking for them to do this for 3 years now.
Yes.
But I think they're finally telegraphing that to us, to the league, to the NFL fans everywhere. You're seeing Omarion Hampton getting mocked by all the big national names at 12 just because everybody knows that is a glaring, glaring need. So this is just, I like the confidence. I really do. I want my guys to be motivated and go out there and give it their best, but there's nothing there in terms of starting running back quality.
Let me go back to Hampton for just a second, since he's popped up in a couple of Mel Kiper's drafts. We've talked about it. I'm not going to go as far as I did with the Ewers question. But overreaction or reality, you would be disappointed if the Cowboys stayed at pick number 12 and selected Hampton. Regardless of if Genty's off the board or not, like, you take Omarion Hampton at pick 12, would you be disappointed?
I would be, yes. Yes. And I like Hampton. I think he's a good player. But I just don't see, I can't advocate for drafting and running back outside of Genty in the first round. And I think there will be other players that I like more than Hampton. Will I get around on the idea, like, once he's a Cowboy, if they were to do this at 12?
Sure.
Yes, I will. Because I think that ultimately he's a difference-making running back. He will be their starting running back for the next 4 to 5 years. And he will be a good player. But for a player that I was eyeing at 44 to take him at 12... Yeah. It's just that's a need pick right there.
Reverse Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
This is tough because I'm one of those that's kind of a believer in Schottenheimer's running patterns and his scheme itself. You know, you need the personnel to make that happen. So at the end of the season, it might look totally awful, and who knows? I might sound dumb, but I just think his concepts are there to the point where taking a running back as talented as Hampton, I think, makes sense. And I would probably say, let's give this a chance. I don't think I would be upset off the rip. So, no, I'd say that's an overreaction.
All right. There's Alec Medford in favor of concepts of a plan. NFL All overreaction right. or reality.
All right.
Sometimes I wish we could just set partisan disagreements aside and admit when something is objectively funny.
Mm-hmm.
Overreaction or reality. The Falcons continue to mishandle their quarterback situation. Now, we said this was probably going to happen a couple of weeks ago. They went ahead and said, don't worry about it, Kirk Cousins. We gave you like $90 million for one season. What's another $10 million on the pile? We're going to go ahead and keep you there. I actually don't think this move is problematic. I think drafting the first round quarterback and giving Kirk Cousins all the money at the exact same time was the problem. But what say you guys?
I think this is reality because I actually didn't have a huge issue with what they did last year.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that they really had done all their homework on Michael Penix Jr. at the time of giving Kirk Cousins the contract. So they're thinking, we've got a pretty good roster. We do think we can be a playoff team. We're a quarterback away. They were top 10 in offense and on defense the year before. So they're like, okay, can we get our offense better? Then in hindsight, they fall in love with Penix Jr. So if that's your guy, you take him in the top 10. I don't have an issue with that. I do have an issue now with doubling down and continuing to put money a crazy amount of money into Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
When there are other teams, probably like the Raiders, for instance, or name a team, Cleveland, maybe in the mix, that would trade for him. So now you can get back resources and maybe you can help get off the hook of some of that money. Because it doesn't sound like Kirk Cousins is very happy to be there.
It does
and
not.
I don't want a frustrated quarterback that's now going to cause more issues for my young future quarterback in Michael Penix Jr., who's trying to get used to starting in the NFL, only played a couple of games. If Kirk Cousins understood the situation and is willing to back up Penix and have his money and cool, whatever, that's fine. But I think you should move on and try and get what you can for him.
Wolchuk nailed it at the very end there. If Kirk Cousins is okay with the situation and he's not publicly disgruntled in the ways that we kind of feel like he is, then cool, because they have to pay him either way.
Yeah.
You know, they guaranteed him all this money, so it makes sense instead of sending him off and, you know, forbid that he ends up going to a team that's close and they end up playing really, really well with him and making the playoffs and they're paying him to win games for another team, then they look dumb. I get that, but that's not the case. I say you just let him go and you avoid the headache altogether, because that's going to be a topic of conversation with the local media every press conference, too. Like, anytime the GM steps out in public, you're going to hear about it. Anytime the head coach has an availability, he's going to get asked about it. Anytime the offensive coordinator has an availability, he's going to get asked about it. It's just going to be a headache for everybody involved, not just the players. So move on from the headache now and try to focus on the right now.
NFL overreaction or reality. Excellent job, by the way, thus far, gentlemen. The DK Metcalf trade is pointless if the Steelers don't have a quarterback.
Oh, that's reality. You are about to have two wide receivers that are ready to implode at any moment. And I do know that the Steelers would love to get rid of the headache that is George Pickens.
Yeah,
that dude is a pain in the rear. And I think that he's ruffled so many feathers. The thing is, he is so darn talented. That's one of the guys that at this point, the anti-Rodgers, where it's like he is so good that we'll put up with it because he is in the prime of his career and it's hard to find a wide receiver this good. But he's just an issue. So now if you've got two receivers that are struggling to get the football, that want the football, that think that they're arguably the best player at each position, which both are. I mean, when you talk about having the egos, these guys have them. This is just going to probably be a disaster.
I'm a huge Steelers fan. All
right.
Kevin. I always knew it.
Why did you have to proclaim that for the millionth time?
That's why he loves Batman so much.
Oh, that makes sense.
It's the black and yellow stuff.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Steelers, the city of Pittsburgh.
I do.
And Batman.
Okay. This is not going to help my cause. I think that the city of Pittsburgh is solid. Their ballpark is unbelievable.
Gorgeous.
True.
But Steelers can suck it.
Hmm. That's a new drop. There you go. You just helped yourself. Mm-hmm. Unless
yeah.
I don't pull.
Yeah, can you play those at the same time?
Unless I don't grab that one, it just disappears into the ether. But fully agree here. This is a reality. I have this like almost cartoon animation in my head that the quarterback, whoever it's going to be for the Steelers, is going to be fighting for their life, running out of the pocket, trying to get the ball downfield. And DK Metcalf and George Pickens are slap boxing each other downfield because one of them ran the wrong route that the other was supposed to run on a designed play for that person. So, yeah, I don't think they're going to get along. I think there's a lot to deal with. And I've already seen the memes, people screenshotting the bio of the receiver coach. And they're like, he's either going to be a head coach in the NFL next year or he's going to be a grad assistant at a D3 school. Like, that's a lot to put up with on top of the fact that they just don't have a quarterback right now that makes any sense. So you need a pretty talented quarterback to deal with those egos and say, look, I'm going to get you the ball. Don't worry. Both of you are going to have your share. You saw Jalen Hurts do it with A.J. Brown in the middle of the Super Bowl. A.J. Brown was throwing a tantrum in the Super Bowl, and they got the ball to him, and all was well. You need at least a capable quarterback.
All right. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this so much. We'll do it again tomorrow and have a second round of NFL overreaction or reality.
We'll consider it, Alec.
Okay. You guys,
we're going to talk behind the scenes.
You guys let me know what you come up with.
We had great performances. I thought your stamina was fantastic, Little Red. Mm. But Kevin and the questions and the delivery, we might need to reevaluate.
Fine. Okay. So we walked away with the questions. They were fine.
The questions were good.
Yeah.
The delivery, I sensed a little bit of anger.
Oh, that's just the way I talk.
And just frustration.
That's definitely the way.
And disappointment.
For sure. Check, check, check. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And right now, it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful.
One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. Let's see if I can keep that stamina going that you were talking about. Whoa, Chuck, that was a lot of talking there. 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line. Want you to answer the question of the day there. Twitch and YouTube as well. We'll get to that here in just a moment. Plus, time permitting, I have some awesome audio from one of my favorite content creators in the world of YouTube ever, Sean Evans. He was on Bert Kreischer's podcast, yeah. And he had a legendary story about one of my favorite artists growing up. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But, you know, I like to look at the National Day calendar for these things. And I see that today is National Awkward Moments Day. March 18th every year is National Awkward Moments Day. Ooh. So what is your one infamous awkward moment that you can't let go of that haunts you to this day?
Well, it was about 5 days ago.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
I said that one thing, but I'll tell you another one because fortunately this has been lost to time. And there's no way we have this audio anymore. It was a really long time ago. So then this is when we were on the night show. Mm-hmm. And we were doing like a series of shows at not like clubs, but they're more like bar type areas and stuff. And so I was doing wireless. And it's a Friday night. It's packed. We're kind of bouncing around.
Sure. And so wireless can be hectic.
Yes, absolutely. So I made my way over to a table. And I said something to the effect of, what do you two fine gentlemen looking for in a potential hookup tonight?
Oh.
And then one of them goes, what'd you say? And I was about to repeat my question. And then took an extra second or two.
Uh-huh.
As Wolchuk says, it can be very hectic. I realized walking in, I had unfortunately misjudged the situation based on haircuts, which you should never do. Oh, I learned a valuable lesson that night. I instantly thought to myself, those are both women. And I said, never mind, and went to my next destination. I got out of there so fast.
Oh, no.
Because I had botched all of it. And I was like, I need to get the hell out of here.
So you misgenderfied?
I did.
These two individuals?
Now, luckily... That was, and it's still not something you want to do.
Was it the breasts?
I don't think I looked at that.
You looked at that.
I mean, not yet. So they both had like really like close, tight haircuts. Uh-huh. And I did assume, I made a mistake, that they were men. They were not. And I learned a valuable lesson that day about not being a hate monger.
I don't think you did anything wrong.
I think those women thought I did something wrong.
Well, it's probably something that they've run into before.
And I didn't do it on purpose.
Again.
I swear I didn't do it on purpose. We were like having fun. And I was like, oh crap. Should I have stayed there and like been an adult and dealt with it? That could have been hilarious radio. Nope. I left. Went to the next spot.
From the 469, awkward moment was when Kevin kicked my window in when I was borrowing something.
You were stealing it. And that's why, actually, that's not why I kicked that person's window in. I've told the story before. I kind of half-heartedly kicked the window, and then the guy looked at me and kind of did the lunge at the window.
No.
And I was 21 at the time, and I was pretty much like, oh, hell no. Now this is happening. And I put my foot through that window.
Did you kick his ass?
No, because he started driving his car away, and I thought, this is how I'm going to die, hanging out of a car.
Yeah.
But I reached into he had like a ridiculous, like a comical trench coat that you would think like I was about to be the victim of somebody flashing me. And I got two of the DVDs back, ran inventory, and he only got two more. And what I'll never forget is there was an older customer in the video store I walk back in and he goes, did you get him? And I said, no, but I kicked out his window. And he goes, that's just as good. That was my favorite line of advice. And then eventually I got fired for doing that.
That's so ridiculous they fired you for that. One of my biggest regrets is that we don't have a recording of this.
I really wish
that this blockbuster had have been rolling parking lot footage and we could have seen Kevin kicking a window out of this dude's car.
If you think I have rage now, it used to be way worse. And I remember it was like a month and a half or 2 months later is my district manager came in, some other corporate bigwig came in, or not my district, my regional manager. And I was like, oh yeah, how's it going? And they're like, can we talk to you in the back real quick? And I go, oh no, am I in trouble? Just joking. And then my regional manager looked at me, he goes, I don't know. Are you in trouble? And I was like, oh no. And then they pulled out this like, you know, that accordion folder. And they're like, do you recall the document you signed when you started with Blockbuster? That was like 2 years ago. Kind of. And then the guy who I didn't know just pulled out this piece of paper and was like, right on the table. And it was highlighted, all of the codes that I had violated. And they were like, sir, is that your signature right there? And I was like, yes. And at that point, they asked me to sign a document that said I violated Blockbuster's policies. And I said, do I get to keep my job if I sign it? And they go, no, you're fired either way. And I was like, oh, okay, great.
Man, keep those coming in. 877-881-1053, your most infamous awkward moment. Woolchuck?
I've got a couple, and really a lot that have been very awkward for me. I'd say on air, the two would be when we first interviewed Jerry Jones. This is my first time ever interviewing him. He was in shades and a sweatsuit. And I really did feel like this was the most intimidating individual that I've ever sat across from in my life.
Right.
I felt like he was looking into my soul and he knew who Brian was. He recognized Gavin's voice. But when it came to Eric and I, he was like, I don't know who the hell these two idiots are. And then I ask him a question and proceed to reset and say, Jerry Jones with us on 105.3 The Phone. And I wanted to crawl under the table and die at that moment. The other would probably be, gosh, there's...
Because it's such an easy mistake to make. Oh, that's tough.
The other would be, and this is also equally as bad, Chris Young was on the show.
I remember this one. I heard about this one.
And Gavin asked him a question about like all the injured players, and I heard Josh Young first and checked out. Now, he also had included like Nathan Eovaldi and another player that was hurt at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I then follow up with like, well, what's the latest with Eovaldi? And Chris Young has just gone and given us an explanation on, well, this is what's going on with Eovaldi. So CY, being the sweetheart that he is and constant professional, just said, well, that's what I just said, and then went to proceed and give the explanation again. But I do know he was upset about this afterwards, and I felt so, like, to this day, I feel terrible.
Well, one of the things was, and I heard about this behind the scenes too, is like, oh, Chris Young doesn't like his time being wasted and asked the same question.
Yeah.
And I was like, to be fair, that's probably anybody, right? Like, I don't imagine anybody who's like,
he's like, why am I going to go do this show if they're not even going to listen to my answers? I'm like, it's with the five of us on that show, most of the time, none of us are paying attention to what the other person's saying.
Oh, I've heard the show.
Yeah, you get it. I'm surprised this doesn't happen more often when we're interviewing people.
Yeah, I haven't had a major like on-air moment that's gotten me like that. I've had a couple of, maybe one, I think it might have been G-Bag of the Day one time years ago, like 3-4 years ago. I was doing a weekend show and it was before one of the Rangers Hall of Fame inductions. So we were doing like an extended pregame. And so I was getting calls left and right about, hey, get ready for this, get ready for this. And I had to do a read as the hotline was ringing. And I left my mic on and I was in the back of the room talking to someone with the Rangers. And Zero was lighting up my phone. Your mic is on, your mic is on. And KG was trying to like wave me down. Like, it's still hot. I didn't say anything bad or anything, but you could like faintly hear me in the background. And Zero was like, I'm so sending that to Lucius and that's getting run on Monday. And I was like, I was still new here. I was like, oh no, I just ruined everything. Yeah. I'm the worst.
Especially when you first start off, it's like, I'm going to get fired for anything.
Exactly, yeah. So I was like, that was so dumb. And I think Reggie even texted me and said, that was amazing. And I'm like, no, it wasn't. Stop, please.
Now, I don't think I'm ever going to live this down, but just a reminder, tomorrow at 1:30, we will have another guest from FC Dallas from the 940. Awkward moment was when Kevin asked me how my Christmas was. I'm never doing that again, ever.
That was assuming again. Look at you.
I did. That was a mistake.
Oh, man. We got some great stories coming in here. I saw, I believe it was from the 214. They said they worked in the oil field and Christmas bonuses were coming up. They got called outside by the boss and they were fired instead of getting their bonus. Had to go home and tell the wife that.
Oh, no. That just feels mean-spirited.
Yeah.
Very rude.
That is rude. And, I mean, that's got to be the worst, too. Like, you feel like you've hyped yourself up, like, yeah, something great is about to happen. And then you walk in and you get the worst news of your life. That's got to be the most embarrassing thing ever. Something else that stuck with me that I've told the story on this show. Third grade spelling bee.
Oh, yeah. I've heard you say this.
Yeah. Misspelled the word learn. Just totally nervous because back then I didn't speak to anyone. I was so shy and had like 100 people in the crowd, all parents. I'm like, oh no, shaking in my boots. I forgot the letter R.
Dude,
I spelled lean.
I forgot the letter R in library. That was my word that
you
I
said
messed
library.
Up.
Library.
Yep, I spelled library. I forgot
the second
R. I mean,
a lot of people say it like that, so it's acceptable to a lot of people. I can give you that.
Really screwed that one up. That's an embarrassing one.
Yeah, it happens, though. And I'm going to save this audio from Sean Evans for tomorrow because it's a great story that's a little bit long. But it might set up our question of the day tomorrow, which is going to be, has to do with Dave Grohl and some heavy drinking.
Oh.
So there's your long tease for tomorrow. Dave Grohl was like one of my favorite musicians growing up. And of course, Sean Evans in the media world. I think he's one of the best interview hosts on the planet.
He's Hot Ones, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they had a time after they shot an episode of Hot Ones, including a private concert where Sean might have gotten shunned in front of entire crowd of people. So that's going to be a fun one. You might want to tune in tomorrow for AM on the FM.
All right. I love it. We're the KNC Masterpiece.
I'll be here.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. That's true. And coming up next,
maybe
it's time for the top 10 with Wooly Bully.
MLB stadiums. You've been handling these teases. I didn't know you were throwing at me for a tease. Let's do the top 10 best stadiums aesthetically in Major League Baseball. What's your favorite? That's next.